Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 tonight. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for we now live if we stand fast in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come to your house tonight, worship you once again. Father, we thank you for the wonderful service we had this morning, for all those who took of their time to come out and go to church. Lord, we thank you again for those who are here tonight. We ask you, Lord, to use this time now for your honor and your glory. Do what I can't. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Do you ever need encouraged? Do you ever get discouraged? Just got to grin through it, right? Well, I love the words of the second verse of that song they sang. I don't remember how it led into it, but in other words, when it gets blurry around my eyes, I just look to the cross. What were those words, Brother Ken? You got them right there close by on the second verse there. That was really good.
I cannot see through the shadows ahead, so I look to the cross of my Savior.
Yeah, I can't see through the shadows ahead, so I look to the cross of my Savior instead. Isn't that wonderful? I've been thinking about this cross that we have back here. We need to enlarge that, don't you think? Get us a larger cross back there. I think that'd be good. Now, we got to keep that one around. That one's been here since 1953, I believe, or 51. When was the building built? 51 or 53? Anybody know? Nobody knows?
I think 54.
54.
That may have been our first home building.
Yeah, well, that one's been there a long time, and I hate to get rid of, like, I don't want to call it a relic in the church, because that can be a bad thing. But I hate to get rid of things like that that have been here along with it. Like our church bell. I'm glad we've got our steeple up there in our bell. It came from the old church. Cedar Hill Road or down by the river, somewhere down there? And praise the Lord for that. And there's still a pew downstairs and one over here that I believe came out of the old church or used to be the pews here, one or the other. I love stuff like that. But I've been thinking about the cross. And man, it'd be nice to have a great big cross back here. But when you can't see, you can't see your own way, isn't it wonderful that we can look to the cross? But sometimes we get discouraged, and sometimes we need encouragement. As we read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, twice we read that Paul writes, verse 1, when we could no longer forbear. And then in verse number 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear. Sounds like a man who is discouraged, doesn't he? He's at a time where he needs encouragement. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is encouragement. We all need to be encouraged from time to time. If a person steps outside these days, if you leave your house, discouragement is inevitable, isn't it? I mean, if you let it, you're going to be discouraged. I mean, just driving down the road, there's mean people, there's slow people, there's rude people. Something's going to discourage you. When you get to work, if you let it, something's going to discourage you. In fact, you could just stay home and say, well, I'm going to avoid discouragement altogether. I'm just going to stay inside my house. But then you'd never be around other people, and you'd get depressed and discouraged staying home all by yourself. You ever had to just stay home? You get discouraged with that. Or you say, well, I'm going to spend the day home and watch TV. Well, there'll be something on TV that will discourage you. It never fails. Discouragement is inevitable. One author wrote, discouragement is the occupational hazard of living today. I thought that was a unique way to put it. But it's so easy to get down the dumps, isn't it? If you let yourself, sometimes without even letting yourself, if you forget to keep yourself up, you can get down in the dumps. Sometimes it's more than that, though. Sometimes it's life circumstances. A loss of a loved one or sickness or a loss of a job or financial trouble, whatever it may be. Other times it's just we forget to be excited and forget about our joy. We forget to smile. I forget to smile sometimes. Some of you have been helping me. My mother, when Dad's here, Dad's sick at home right now, but when my mom's here, she grins at me the whole time and helps me to remember to smile at you all. So if you wonder if I smile good, you can thank my mother. And some of you have been helping me with that. I appreciate it. Some of you have been looking at me real funny. Why are they looking at me like that? Oh, my mother's not here. They're helping me to remember to smile. It's easy to get down the dumps. It's easy to have the blues. Do you ever have the blues? I like to listen to the blues. I like to hear my dad play the blues. If you ever want to get excited, you go down to Pop's house, and if he's ever got his guitar out, sometimes our neighbor Chuck comes over and they play guitars together, and boy, they jam out, and I like to hear him play the blues. You may not like the blues. I don't mean to offend you if you don't like the blues. I'm sure there's a genre of music that you like that I don't like either. But, you know, Dad will just, and he'll sing some, make up some crazy rhythm, you know, and say, play the blues for me. Well, I like that, but I don't like to have the blues. You ever try to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders? We're all guilty of that in some area. There's something in this world for every one of us that we feel like it's our thing, and if we don't do it, nobody else will. I'll tell you mine. I don't tell many people this. Buggies at shopping centers. I'm convinced if we didn't have buggies, or if we would all just return our buggies, the price of the stuff inside could be cheaper. Didn't have to pay that guy to go out there and get those buggies. And then how hard is it to walk the buggy back inside? So I make it a point, unless it's really hot or, you know, I'm in a hurry, at least get it in the thing, because I hate when it hits my car. But I try to just walk the buggy back inside. Aldi stores, y'all been to an Aldi store? Big fan of that. You give them a quarter and they give you a buggy, and at the end you give your buggy back and you get that quarter back. Well, that works out really good, and they don't have to pay somebody. Now, I know if you're thinking from a governmental standpoint, you're saying, yeah, but there's a job that somebody doesn't have. I understand that. You may have been a buggy pusher sometime in your life, and you're thankful to have that job. But that's my thing. You know, I want to be the man with the world on his shoulders, and by pushing buggies in, I feel like I'm doing that. Do you have a thing like that? I'm sure we all have something that we want to put the weight of the world on our shoulders and take care of. That causes us to get discouraged sometimes. Even the Bible talks about, uses a term called being cast down. You've heard that term in the Bible. You've ever read over that? Discouraged. Have you ever had the wind knocked out of your sails? I like that. I like the way that's worded. Sometimes we just get the wind knocked out of our sails. I've had the wind knocked out of my belly, too. But when I was a kid, we'd play ball. Man, I'd play full blast out in the church parking lot after church. And our church parking lot wasn't so level. And right at the edge of where we played basketball, there was about a 6-foot drop-off down into a ditch and then another level spot where we had our fellowship hall. And so, you know, if the ball would just constantly roll down there, and we'd jump off that hill and get the ball. And I jumped one time and landed right on top of the basketball in my belly. I got the wind knocked out of me, not necessarily out of my sails. But sometimes we get the wind knocked out of our sails. Has it ever rained on your parade? Ever had that happen? Have you ever had your bubble burst? I hate getting my bubble burst. Sometimes it's good, though. Sometimes it's helpful. But sometimes it hurts. It hurts my feelings. It hurts. It ruins my day. I may be on the top of the world, and just as smiley as can be, and just full of myself or full of my day or whatever it is I'm full of, and just happy, and then get my bubble burst. You get discouraged by those kind of things, or at least I do. So with all that in mind, I want to talk to us tonight about encouragement. First, I want to say encouragement is needed. It's a necessary thing for us to be encouraged. Don't ever go through life thinking that a Christian has to be sad, that the Christian life has to be hard. And it is hard. I'm not going to lie to you and say that it's a bed of roses. But we all need to be encouraged from time to time. We need to be encouraged first because life is full of trials. Could you say amen to that?
Amen.
Life is full of trials. I thought y'all might yell at me right there. Now, y'all booed me this morning when I was talking about how my wife is, I've been staying up all night and she's been sleeping. Y'all knew that wasn't true and you booed me. And then I say, life is full of trials and give you the perfect opportunity, and nobody says a word. But life is full of trials. Verse 3. And that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Life is full of trials. Life has afflictions. Verse 4. For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. We're going to go through afflictions, tribulations. That we need encouragement because life is full of trials. We need encouragement because Satan will tempt us. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Nothing that the world or Satan or whoever you want to give it credit to would like to do is discourage some Christian.
That's right.
You have a purpose in life. God has a plan for your life. But when you're discouraged, all you can think about is your discouragement. It's almost as if someone hangs a sign in front of our face and all we can see is our discouragement. And we can do nothing for him. Encouragement's needed because life is full of trials, because Satan tempts us. Encouragement's also needed because our emotions overcome us. And we already pointed this out, but in verse 1 and in verse 5, he writes that when we could no longer forbear. Do you get to where your emotions overcome you sometimes where you just, I can't put up with this anymore? That ever happened to you? We had something happen last night with Jackson, and I was already kind of perturbed with the situation, and this one thing happened that just sort of pushed me over the edge. Not in our family. Miss Shanae and I didn't have a fight, so don't worry. But me and Miss Shanae about got in a fight with some other people. No, we didn't really, I promise. But in the nicest way that I knew how, I'm usually very quiet and keep my opinion to myself, especially in the public, because that's, you know, if you're a pastor or if you're a Christian, you all face this. They won't come to your church and they'll have anything to do with you. They'll call you a hypocrite because you have an opinion. You know, everybody's got opinions. Why can't I have one? Everybody else has one, but I try to keep it to myself. Well, when this thing happened last night, I just went ahead and I shared my opinion with a grin on my face. I thanked the brother I was talking with, but I let him know how I felt. At that moment, my emotions had overcome me. I was a little discouraged with what was going on, and my son was being affected by that. That hurt me. Amen. When my son gets hurt, amen, that hurts me. So I got overwhelmed. I could no longer forbear. And times when we need encouragement are those times when our emotions overcome us. Also there in verse 1, and this is, I get this way even more so sometimes. He said he could no longer forbear, but then at the end of verse 1 there, he says, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now, to take a side note here, if you're a Georgia fan, it's always good to be left in Athens, Georgia, alone. That's where the University of Georgia is. That'd be like for you all if he'd written, be left in Knoxville alone, okay? Or Vanderbilt, I don't know if anybody wants to be left there. I just had to throw that side note in there, though, because Athens is in the Bible. And Knoxville is not. Anybody need to leave? Nobody? But do you ever get to where your emotions overcome you such that you just need to be left alone? There are times when somebody's trying to get me on the phone because they know that they need to talk to me about something very important. I know that I need to talk to them about it. But it's best if we don't talk right that moment. You ever there? And you just have to just not answer that call or say, can I please call you back in the morning? When I used to coach sports, we had a rule. The Georgia High School Association was who did the sports down there. I guess it's Tennessee High School Association up here or something like that. Their rule was if there was a fight or an argument or a problem at a game, you didn't deal with it that night. Nothing could be done until after 8 o'clock the next morning. You know what usually happened by 8 o'clock the next morning? Nobody cared. Nobody cared. I mean, it wasn't important anymore. I had breakfast. My belly was full. I had gotten sleep. It didn't matter anymore. There are times when our emotions overcome us, and we need to be encouraged, and we just need to be left at Athens alone. And that's where he is here. So we see very clearly, and Paul is... Man, I hate to put a person on a pedestal, but you'd almost have to say Paul's the best of us, wouldn't you think? I mean, outside of Jesus, Paul was a great Christian. If I could ever be half of what Paul was, I would think, man, I've really done something as a Christian. Now, I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek because I don't want to put Paul on a pedestal. And of all people, to say that about Paul would come and rebuke me for saying that about him. You understand where I'm at there. But we all know where Paul is in our thinking. And for him to get to this place where he needs encouragement, don't sit here tonight and think to yourself, I'll never need encouragement, or I don't need encouragement, or it'll never happen to me. Encouragement's necessary. You're going to need it. The second thing I'd point out tonight is that encouragement is near. You may be discouraged, but encouragement is just, it's within reach. It's right there. In fact, it's easier to get a hold of than discouragement. We said if you were to walk outside your house, you could be discouraged. You could just think in your mind and get encouraged if you would. But it's hard to do. We can be encouraged with good news. Look at verse 6. Now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. Good news is encouraging. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Don't you love to get good news? I like checking the mail. Now, if I know it's bill day, or I know I'm behind on a bill, or I know they're needing to get me, I don't like checking the mail. That's bad news. But things are good right now, and I love to get to the mailbox. In fact, some days, Miss Shanae and I, we'll try to beat each other to the mailbox, depending on how our day goes, because I just like to get good news. It's fun to see what might be in there. At your birthday time, do you like to hurry and get to the mailbox when it's your birthday? Somebody might have sent me a card. I like good news. Good news is encouraging. Proverbs said it's like cold water to a thirsty soul. Boy, that means a lot to us right now, doesn't it? Wasn't this rain good news? Man, I heard the thunder last night, and I said, praise the Lord. Man, I mean, I bet we all said, praise the Lord. Wonderful that we get a little rain. And I didn't care if it was just a little bit. Well, we got a pretty good bit last night. I was just happy to get it. Cold water when things are dry are wonderful. Encouragement when you're discouraged is wonderful, and that can come through good news. You get just a little bit of good news. You ever saw that old sign people used to hang either on their mailbox or in their house somewhere? It says, no news is good news. Works both ways. No news. If you don't give me any news at all, that's good news, right? Because you can't give me any bad. And then there's no news you can give me. That's good news. I like that sign. The world is full of bad news. Then how do you get encouraged? Focus on the good. It's perception. You've got to make yourself just think on the good. You can talk about how bad the government is, how bad the economy is, how bad the school board around here is a big deal right now in Cheatham County. Oh, it's so awful. You know, I've been skipping that section in the paper, in the Advocate. It wasn't doing me any good to read about it. I'd get madder and madder and madder. I mean, it wasn't helping me any. Focus on the good. Good news. Encouragement is near and good news. Look at the end of verse 6 there. He says, when Timothy came to me and brought good tidings. And then he says, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also see you. Fellowship. Fellowship will encourage us. That's why I come to church. To fellowship with God and worship God, but to fellowship with you. I come for that fellowship with other like-minded people. And you can be encouraged when you spend time with other like-minded people. I went through a phase in my life where every breathing hour I tried to do something new and intense and just big for God. We would go Friday night and we would go to the rescue mission and to homeless men. We would preach to them. And then we'd leave there and we'd go out on the street corner where the kids cruise down through our town. They'd just drive around a circle all night long. Zoom, zoom, zoom. And we'd preach at the cars, you know. And then we'd get up Saturday morning and we'd go into government projects and we'd carry candy to, you know, black kids, Mexican kids, poor white kids, and just kids who nobody else cared about. In fact, everybody else was scared to go where they lived because they heard that bad things happened there. Nothing bad ever happened to me. They were happy to see me, actually. They'd say, hello, Rev, or hey, preacher, or how you doing? You know, they'd be happy that you were there. And those kids just get around you, and they'd get the candy, and they'd be so happy you were there. And we'd get them and take them to church. We'd do that on Saturday mornings. And then Saturday night, we'd go back out, and we'd street preach again. Then Sunday mornings, preach on the radio. Then Sunday morning after that, we'd go pick up the kids. And then we'd go to Sunday school. And then we'd go to church. And then we'd take the children home. And then, you know, I mean, it's just every waking hour, it seemed like, was trying to do something for God. But with all that, I found out really quick that I was lacking in one big area, fellowship with other like-minded people. I was spending my time on Friday nights with a bunch of mad people because they were trying to party, and I was preaching to them, running by cussing me. And then the guys at the homeless mission, I was preaching too long, and they wanted to eat, but they wouldn't let them eat until I got done preaching. And then you know, a child's parent would be mad at me because we didn't get home from church. And I was spending my time too much. I'm not telling you how to do all those things. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like coming with being around like-minded people who think like you, who act like you, who do like you do, to get fellowship to encourage yourself. It helps. And then fruit. Fruit's encouraging. Verse 6 at the end there. Have good remembrance of us and desiring greatly to see us as we also see you. I'm sorry, I skipped over it. And let's just read the whole verse. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and your charity. What was Paul doing? He was going around as a missionary, as a pastor to these churches. People were getting saved. And he sees again there that there's good tidings of their faith and charity. Verse number 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you and all your affliction and distresses by your faith. He still sees that fruit there. Verse number 8. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Paul said, hey, I can live. I can make it. I can go another day. if you stand fast in the Lord. You can be encouraged by fruit. Seeing the fruit of your labor is encouraging. You ever set out to do a project and get down to the end of it? I love like one-day projects. You start like on a Saturday morning doing something, and by Saturday night at dinner time, you're sitting there having your dinner and it's done, and you can look at it and say, man, this is great. That's Monday, we went and had the baby. And by the end of the day, I was holding that voice. And I made this. I did this. And then Miss Shanae got mad at me and kicked me out, you know. Said, no, you didn't do all this. But the fruit of our labor is rewarding. It's encouraging to see that. Be careful that you don't involve yourself in things that there's no end, that you can't finish. Now, there are things that you'll never read the Bible enough, you know. But don't be discouraged with that. Set small goals within the Bible. Say, well, I'm gonna read through it this year. Well, you can do that. Say, I read through the Bible last year. I don't want to read through it again this year. So I'm going to study all the epistles this year. I'm going to study them in depth. I'm going to get a study Bible and my Bible and some commentaries. I'm going to go through them in depth this year. That's a good thing. Make ends for yourself where you can't find one. But be careful not to get yourself involved in areas where there's no end in sight. You'll be discouraged. And when we do that, when we set ourselves up for failure, essentially, when we put a standard or a goal on ourselves that God hasn't asked us to do, it leads to discouragement. Encourage yourself with fruit. And then the last thing I'd say tonight is encouragement is nourishing. It feels good to be encouraged, doesn't it? Well, don't forget that feeling and encourage others. More so than we can encourage ourselves, others can encourage us. You may find me having a bad day, and within just a few minutes, if you know me well enough, you can say the right things to me where I can't help but grin and be happy, at least while I'm with you. I may leave you and go back to whatever I was, my bubble was burst over. But right there, you can get me. Encouragement is nourishing. And I'll tell you, one of the best methods that I've found to encourage myself is to encourage others. I'll go for a hospital visit. Brother or sister so-and-so are in a bad way right now, and I really need to go see them and encourage them. You know who leaves encouraged most of the time? Me. I get in there and they're just praising the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not worried about it. Things are fine. God's good. And I leave there thinking, man, I'm not in the hospital. And they're happier with the Lord than I am. And this is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. That was encouraging. It's encouraging to encourage others. I'm going to read a couple quotes to you here about encouragement. For every critical comment we receive, it takes 9 affirming comments to even out the negative effect in our life. It's very important that we don't criticize others, but that we encourage others. Many of our daily conversations are actually mutual counseling sessions whereby we exchange the reassurance and advice that help us deal with routine stresses. You ever thought about your conversations that way? You ever thought about that phone call that way? Email, text, whatever it is that you communicate with other people? I never thought of it like that. I'm actually counseling them. They're counseling me at the time. They may be discouraged. I may be encouraged. And through my positive thoughts or things that I say, I'm encouraging them and save them a trip to the doctor. That's wonderful. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says very simply, "But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Exhort one another daily. Have you exhorted anyone today? Have you encouraged anyone today? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Anybody know that verse? I know that verse by heart, and I have for a long time, especially since I've been in ministry. It's one of the preacher's favorite verses. I don't care who the preacher is. He likes this verse. Anybody know what it is yet? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Preachers love that verse. Amen. Don't skip church. "But exhorting one another." I always forget about that part at the end of the verse. I focus on don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But what does it say right after that? "But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching." The closer we get to heaven, the more we need to encourage one another. Exhort one another. I want to read a story to you here. This is it was called "Holding Each Other Up," and it was in Guidepost magazine. Donald Varin of Oceanside, California, told of serving as a young hospital corpsman in the invasion of Guam during the World War II. Suddenly his boat came to a grinding halt. They had hit a coral reef, and the commanding officer ordered everyone off the boat. Donald jumped into the ocean and sank like a rock, his rifle, medical pack, canteen, and boots dragging him down. He forced himself to the surface, gasping for air, only to sink again. He tried to pull off his boots, but the effort exhausted him, and he suddenly realized he wasn't going to make it. Just then he saw a man thrashing in the water next to him, and in desperation he clutched onto him. That proved enough to hold him up and to get him to the reef, where he was picked up by a rescue boat. But Donald felt so guilty about grabbing the drowning man to save himself that he never told anyone what had happened. About 6 months later, on shore leave in San Francisco, he stopped in a restaurant. A sailor in uniform waved him over to sit with him. As he did so, he announced to his friends, "This is my buddy. He saved my life." "What are you talking about?" asked Donald. "Don't you remember," said the man, "we were in the water together at Guam. You grabbed onto me, and as I was going down, you held me up." Boy, it's essential to encourage one another. I mean, when we think that maybe I'm pulling you down, well, you think you're pulling me down, but we're actually encouraging one another. Man, that's wonderful. I like that story. We should never feel as though our encouragement to others is overbearing or nosy or just getting in their way. Go pay that visit. Say, "Well, I don't want to bug them." Go bug them. They need to be bugged. They need to be bugged. Make that phone call. They want to hear from you. I promise you they do. Send that email. Become their friend on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, that's a new thing preachers have to throw into their sermons these days. Follow them on Twitter. I thought I'd get some questioning looks. You all are more up to date than I thought. People need that. It encourages them that you care about them and what's going on in their life. We had a funeral here on Monday of a young man who took a gun and shot himself and took his own life. No one should ever feel like it's that bad. And I blame us. We don't even know him. But if our church, he was a Kingston Springs man, if our church was encouraging this community as much as we should, nobody should be committing suicide. Encourage others. It's very important that we encourage others. We encourage others. I'll finish with this. We encourage others by listening. You ever catch yourself, somebody's talking, and you're just thinking about what you're going to say next? Instead of hearing what they're saying to you? I'm guilty of that. Listen to what they're saying. It helps others to know that you care enough to listen to what they have to say to you. We encourage others by praying for them. You may not be up to making that visit. You may not be up to making that phone call. But you can bow your head at that moment and say, "Lord, help them. I don't know what they're going through today, but I'd ask you to help them." Sometimes it's good to pray for someone and then let them know, "Hey, you were on my heart today, so I prayed for you." Well, that goes a long ways. It really does. We encourage others by being transparent. Transparency is something that is a taboo subject for a lot of people. It ain't nobody else's business. I don't want them to know what's going on. I don't want them to know what's going on in my life. I don't want them to know how I'm feeling. My emotions need to be kept under wraps. It's not a big deal. Now, the more you get to know me and know my father is a romantic man. He buys my mother flowers. He writes, real cheesy love cards to her, and they do all the little things, the romantic thing. That's just how my dad is. I grew up where he'd say, "Look at this boy," and he'd grab mom and dip her down and give her a kiss, I mean, that's just the house I grew up in. And up until the day I left his house, he'd grab me around the neck and kiss me on the cheek right there, as big and as old as I was. That's just the house. So we were emotional people, and that's just how I was raised. He may not be that way, and that's all right. But when we've lost a sense of transparency, we can't fellowship with each other as believers. You are my family. I mean, and I can say that more honest than any of you, because most of my family's in Georgia. Up here, I don't have anybody else. It's just you or nobody. If y'all don't like me, nobody likes me. Oh, my goodness. I'm so discouraged. But if we can't be open and honest with each other, well, then who can we be? I mean, I'm not a big fan of you. Let me check that with something. I'm not a big fan of, I've been in church services where it's almost like we just went around the room, took turns telling how bad it is. I'm not a big fan of that all the time. I mean, sometimes that may be necessary. But, I mean, we're not having a funeral for God. He hasn't died. Jesus hasn't died yet. But when we can't be transparent about the good things, I mean, we've got to be transparent a little more than we are. We can encourage others that way. We can encourage others by expressing our appreciation. Do you write thank you cards and put a stamp on them and put them in the mail? That helps. They may be going to the mailbox that day to see if anything good's there to encourage themselves. And there you wrote them a thank you card. Say thanks. A man once entered a greasy spoon restaurant for breakfast. I don't know where it is, but I want to go there. Sounds good. When the waitress, groggy and disinterested, took his order, he replied, "Bring me some ham and eggs and a few kind words." When she returned 15 minutes later, she set the food before him and said, "There." "What about the kind words?" he asked. The server looked over him a moment, then replied, "I'd advise you not to eat them eggs." Well, imagine those aren't the kind words that he was looking for. Expressing appreciation is essential. It's very important that you say thank you. I don't know that the server where I eat cares if I tell them how good the soup was, but I do it anyway. I'm glad it tastes good. I say, "Man, this is really good. Thank you for bringing it to me." They may get on their nerves. I don't know. But I at least want to try to be thankful. I think if it were me, I'd like to hear that it was good. I might go in the back and tell the man that made it, say, "Hey, man, we're liking the soup out there today." But just saying thank you. We should never stop saying thank you. Especially as God's people, as Christians, as blessed as we are. You ever heard that old saying, "All of this and heaven too"? We should be saying thank you. And that's encouraging to other people. Anybody ever heard of Bear Bryant? You're supposed to say no. We're in Tennessee. We're in Tennessee. I'm from Georgia. We never heard. Who's Bear Bryant? What? Alabama. They have football down there. Here's what he said about that, about appreciation. If anything goes bad, I did it. If anything goes kind of good, we did it. If anything goes really good, then you did it. That's pretty good, isn't it? I like that philosophy. And then we encourage others by challenging them. Now, sometimes we can challenge folks and it's discouraging to them. When I coach basketball, let's just use basketball, I would challenge them to get in shape. And boy, I'd put them on the line and blow the whistle and make them run. Now, I was challenging them all right, but it wasn't encouraging them at all. It was discouraging them. They were losing their breath and they needed water and they were soaking wet from their sweat and they wanted to choke me. That was not encouraging them at all. To encourage someone by challenging them is to realize that everyone doesn't have to be just like me to contribute. Are you aware of that? Everybody doesn't have to be just like you to be helpful and useful in society. Well, that's hard for me. So I want them all to do it my way. I drive by and see somebody else's yard and I think, they didn't cut that right. When I should be thinking, you know, hey, at least you kept your yard cut down. I appreciate that. Mine grew up overnight. Did y'all do that last night? It had been dry and got a little water. Now it needs to be mowed. I thought, man, I feel awful. Preacher on a Sunday and his yard's not mowed. That's just awful, isn't it? But challenge others. You've got to first realize that they don't have to be just like you. And then encourage them in their differences. They may not do it just like you do it, but as long as they're trying to get the same place you are, what's the difference? And encourage them to do their best in what it is they do. And I'm learning quickly as I get older in life that if they do it, that means I don't have to. And they may not do it exactly how I wanted, but praise the Lord, it got done. Amen? Someone said both optimists and pessimists contribute to society. And their proof was this. The optimist invents the airplane. The pessimist invented the parachute. Both very useful. I'm glad they're both out there. And then we can encourage others by sharing the Word of God. That's the best way. We all know the Word of God. You know it, I know it. I might tell you a verse when you're depressed that helps you out and encourages you, that you've heard a million times and you may have even told yourself, but it helps to hear someone else say it, doesn't it? It helps when someone else gives you that, just to hear it from another source. We always, when I coached ball, we would go to summer sports camps. Not that I thought those guys at the camps could coach any better than me, because I was the best, right? We're all the best at what we do. But it always helped when someone that they hadn't heard yelling at them all year long told my players to do exactly what I'd already been telling them to do all year long. It reiterated what I was doing. And I like that. And the Word is like that. You know it, but it helps to hear someone else reaffirm what you already know. The Word alone is encouraging. Let me read this to you. It was the encouragement of the Word that sustained young William Carey during his first months as pioneer missionary in India. Everything seemed to conspire against him. No one was responding to his message. His co-worker, John Thomas, was in constant danger of being arrested due to indebtedness, and he was dragging William down with him. The Carey family was so ill-housed and nearly destitute. Two of the four children suffered from dysentery. Worst of all, his own wife, Dorothy, was hostile, unhappy, and appeared to be losing her mind. But this is what he writes. If my family were but hearty in the work, I should find a great burden removed. But the carnal discourse of the passage and the pomp and grandeur of Europeans is here, have intoxicated their minds so as to make them unhappy in one of the finest countries of the world and lonely in the midst of 100,000 people. These are burdens and afflictions for me, but I bless God that I faint not. And when my soul can drink her fill at the word of God, I forget it all. Wasn't that wonderful? When my soul can drink her fill at the word of God, I forget all my problems. And that's the way to be, isn't it? The word is encouraging.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.